Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by the legends of Dyson Logistics. Couldn't be possible without the support of Jason Hawes at Cripps and Cripps Real Estate, and coming at you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Ahacking. I am one half of the podcast, Sharks Nut Newman, and I'm joined as I am every week by my fellow Sharks fanatic, Sydney singer-songwriter and Fox Sports stats man, Sam Shenazzy. How are you, champion?
Things are falling apart, Newman.
The wheels are coming off. The wagon is rolling
down. The Leafs Club is caving in.
Very rickety, potholed, rutted road, and the wheels were shaky.
And that was just Saturday night. Off. Wow.
Dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Big one.
The official records will read that the Sharks were roundly rolled, easily dispatched by a white hot, not even white hot, just a very capable.
Pretty good.
Sydney Roosters side, 34 points to 18. And that leaves us in eighth position on the NRL COVID ladder. And we can't finish anywhere else. Regardless of what happens this weekend.
Well,
we can't,
I mean, we can, but we have to win by hundreds and that
yeah,
sort of thing.
I mean,
so
look,
we're not going to.
We're not, we're going to finish the season in eighth.
Yes.
And really the only thing up in the air is whether we play Canberra or Parramatta.
Yes.
They are the only two eventualities, but it's more than likely it will be Canberra in Canberra. But let's talk about the game first. And, well, Samuel, what could go wrong went wrong.
Yeah, it did. I guess I want to focus first of all on the first half. Very disappointing performance, and it looked like it could be anything for a while. The first sort of 10 minutes was diabolical. Defensively, discipline, just it was the same old story, and really disappointing in a game that they kind of could have gone close in, because what do we have? No Tedesco, no Takiyaho,
no
someone
friend.
Else, no friend,
no Cordner.
No Cordner. That's pretty good time to get the Roosters.
100%. And the Roosters weren't playing for a great deal. But
aside from the Mitchell or something.
Yeah. But the start was just diabolically bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you said it on the podcast, Sam. You said it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to complete high, and we knew that. And they dropped the ball in like the first three sets, and Mitch Orbison scored a try. Like fairy tale stuff straight out of the gate. And you're like, I felt like I'm switching this off now. There's just no point.
So you and I had a pre-production meeting this morning by accident, and we talked about the first set Cronulla had. And they went right on the first or second tackle on their own 10-meter line.
Yep.
Katoa drops it. Scrum.
Yeah. And, you know, you made the point that it was a bad pass and they should have gone that way. And that's all right. That's all true. But Sione Katoa should have caught that. And as soon as he didn't catch it, I'm like, holy hell. And then I think it was the next set. Hamulin Ueli makes an error in the play of the ball. And you're just like, come on. Yeah. You know, get to your... And the Roosters weren't great in that opening period either. They dropped a bunch of ball. Flanagan kicked out on the full, and we just didn't punish them.
We ended up completing at 71%. They completed 82%. But that first half is where they lost the game.
Yeah. And that was before the decimation, the absolute destruction with injury.
Oh.
It was just...
Which is out of everyone's hands. That's
I know,
the fake
but,
thing.
But the injuries happened after the errors.
Yeah.
Once the errors happened, I'm like, oh, we're in trouble here. We are in big trouble. And, you know, we made the same thing, not competitive against top eight sides. Well, if you start like that, you just don't give yourself a chance against these good sides. And the game's changed. It's been shown time and time and time again that under the set restart rule, there's all of this weight of possession. You can't afford to turn it over to the good sides.
No, and we wanted to make a bit of a statement going forward, because to be any chance in the finals or to be taken seriously, you wanted to beat the Roosters, the first top eight team you beat this year, pretty good one too. Roll on to Canberra, beat them, that's two top eight teams you've beaten.
You
week one of the finals,
momentum.
Yeah.
Even if they'd lost to the Roosters by two or four, I'm thinking that's...
By eight.
Yeah. Now, the big talking point from the game was the sniper was up in the top row of the Sydney cricket ground, the grand old girl, and got, he, you know, hit Sean Johnson straight between the not the eyeballs, but the ankle bones. Down he went. Could be out for anywhere up to 8 months. Bye-bye, Shawnee.
Sean Johnson, I feel desperately sorry for, as we all do.
Mm-hmm.
And Royce Hunt didn't go too much better either.
No.
They're going to be in rehab for a long time. And that opens up a whole can of worms, which we'll get into, I'm sure, later on the show in a future episode. But
well, I was watching the game with my best mate, who you know, who was a GP, a general practitioner.
Oh,
and before he was a GP, he was a physio. So he's no armchair commentator. And he was just like, yeah, he's broken something. That's whether it's tendon or bone or cartilage. He's like, I can diagnose that from the TV. He's in the world of trouble.
Yeah, and he wasn't wrong. Operated on today. So rehab's already started, so to speak. Mm. But whatever is next besides tragedy. It's not tragedy, but it's whatever's next.
Oh, it's dreadful bad luck.
Yes.
They were saying on the coverage that he's only played finals twice. He's missing out on another final series. And, oh, you know, as they brought the Medicare cab on and, you know, we're playing poorly and then we lose our half on the back of the news that Moylan is maligned as he is. He's also out for the rest of the season. You're thinking,
well,
they put the Sharks' slim chances of coming good this season and put it on the back of that Medicap with Royce Hunt standing on it.
And, what about the standing position?
And just, they drove it off.
So, on the Thursday or Friday, John Morris did his weekly press conference and he said that, you know what, I think that Moylan's out for the year. So, okay, we kind of assume that. Post-game, he was like, I might need to look into that.
Mm.
And, you know, if it's 4 to 6 weeks, can we move that a bit forward? So that, and that's, I don't believe he'll do that.
They haven't got 3 weeks, mate.
Well, they haven't, but also I don't think that he'd be ready to play.
No.
So obviously he's just speaking bravely, but I mean, I feel for John Morris. I feel for the fans. It was a disaster.
I don't know what else you can say about it. I mean, the players that were out there were brave, but the middle defense was...
Let's talk about this braveness. I had a real problem with some of those words flying around. They were strong in the second half, given what they went through watching their mates go down. And they didn't concede too many points in the second half. But that first half was nothing even in the realm of brave.
No, stupid.
It was awful.
Yeah,
awful. Coach said as much.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm happy for people to be proud of their team, but I just felt disappointed.
Yeah, and some of the paper-like defense, you know.
The middle.
You're giving the errors up, which is bad, but then compounding that with some shocking defense, letting Orbo in, you know, getting the numbers wrong again out on one of the tries on the edge, you know, Jesse Ramian, they had the numbers and he didn't count right and they just give him saloon passage on the edge. I don't want to get into the whole stay on your wing thing because Ramian's not a winger, but they just couldn't count the numbers.
Yeah.
And it's just not good enough. And it's just so frustrating. And look, I try not to get too emotionally invested these days, but I was frankly irritated watching the game.
I was first half. I was pretty annoyed because you know, and our listeners, we watch the game closely. We know how to win these games. Mm. And they didn't even come close to it.
No.
And then Dugan was injured as well. And there was a controversy with him on the ground. They played on. They scored down his touchline.
Yeah.
It's a fair game. I mean, obviously, we'd prefer the ref to stop the game.
Yeah, but you got to adapt, right?
You got to adapt. The game was gone then. People were arguing about, oh, that was the game there. The game was gone way before that.
And just some of the other indicators of when a team's playing well, like the shape coming out of trouble just on our regular get-out sets was horrible. There was no push. They just looked just like they didn't even know each other. When it was a big game like that, and they were psyched about the game, to put in a shift like that is really disappointing.
I'll tell you who let me down, me personally, and we'll get into the letters section as well, but the forward pack.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking as a whole. I'm not saying every single person the whole game. But as you said, coming out of trouble, and the forwards are looking at the outside backs to say, get us out of here.
Like,
you lazy
buggers,
why don't you do it? Like,
ball.
Oh, numerous sets I was watching early in the game,
Oh, I know the shapes.
And they weren't pulling their weight.
I can tell when they're not running to the shape. And they were doing that all the time. Like, mate. It was just no good. What else do you say? Like, they put our season on the back of a Medicab and drove it off the field and forget it. So how long's Dugan out for?
Undisclosed, but not named this week.
Yeah, right.
They said it wasn't serious. So I can see him making a big play for the final next week.
Yeah. Well, what else do you want to talk about? Talakai was strong again.
Yeah, I thought Talakai was all right.
Scored a great try, got us out of the gates. Other than that, I'm struggling to find some.
I thought Brayley tried hard.
Yeah, he tried hard.
Connor had some nice touches, but again, you know, some defensive lapses, which you're going to get. I understand that.
Connor's striking me as a bit of Mr. Almost.
Yeah.
Like he's almost going to do something good with that show and go, but it never actually comes to anything.
But it could in time. It could in time. Looking at this team list, it wasn't too flash. Mm. I mean, the forwards, the only one that made... The three guys that made decent meters were Sorensen.
I thought Sorensen was...
Rudolph and Fifita, of all people.
Yeah.
And he was running straight. There wasn't a lot of him, but he was trying hard.
Yeah, and some of the peanut gallery conversations about Andrew Fifita just completely ridiculous.
Like?
Oh, he's an arrogant grub and get rid of him and don't even pay for his taxi ride. Like, just, you know.
He doesn't look arrogant to
me. He won us the grand final.
Yeah, he can do what he wants. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind he can do what he wants. I think come contract time, let's take a few things off that contract. But you got to show respect to that guy, that's for sure. But, yeah. What did you think of the SCG?
Well, I was watching it at home because my wife had it. To compound, to add insult to injury, I was minding the kids. My wife had a girls' night, and then I put them to bed, and I was going to enjoy a pizza with mum, and my mate came over.
How good's pizza?
And then, like, my boy just, who normally you put into bed at 7 o'clock and he just goes to sleep, just refused. And so I was up and
he
down.
He knew there was pizza.
Him. Yeah, he was up and down all night, like, trying to get him off to sleep. So
Let me ask you one more thing.
Go.
There was a couple of midfield defensive lapses.
Yeah.
And one I'm thinking of, which led to a try, was from Rudolph and Williams together. Like, straight to the middle. Boop.
Yeah.
Say Toby, for example, we'll take him. How long has he got to do that stuff, given he's green, he's raw, and usually he's pretty good?
Yeah, well, the defense has been under question all year, and the defensive coach has been moved on or has decided to move on, and it definitely hasn't been there in the middle. I think a lot of that would have been fatigue because they were struggling so hard to bring the ball out of their own end.
Yeah.
But we have been questioning the extra effort against the good teams when the speed goes up. So, it's probably a combination of fatigue, maybe perhaps a lack of fitness, and the system. There's something wrong with the system. Systematically, that it's been bad all year. So, combination of those three.
Can that be changed in the off season? The system? Can we learn a new one?
Of course you can. But these things are cultural, and you look at a side like the Roosters and the Storm, you know, the standout sides of the last 8 to 10 years, their defensive mentality is through the grades, and whether they put out a really injury-affected origin time team with the nobodies or they put their superstar grand final team out, the defense doesn't vary that much.
Gotcha.
So that's cultural, and it's hard to... You know, if it was easy and it was a quick fix, everyone would do it.
Does that mean, in theory, if the Sharks were playing other grades, their attack would be really good?
Yeah, I think it would be. Yeah,
yeah, right.
I think if Newtown were playing, they'd be scoring a lot of points.
Right, okay, gotcha.
But do we just yeah, I mean, as a broader conversation, to instill that defensive mongrel is difficult to do. And all coaches talk about how they're focused on defense, but it's hard to do.
We need to bring in a defensive person and not just bring in someone and give them a title.
Yeah.
Bring in an expert on defense.
And a lot of the other thing is it's the players these days, you know, the modern...
Young whippersnappers.
The likes of Talakai and Hunt coming through the grades were so strong ball in hand. You know, they didn't really need to focus on their defense too much, you know.
Right.
And that's the problem with a lot of elite players. They come into the system and defense isn't their strong point. But,
right. Like a Bronson Cherry, for example.
Yeah, Bronson Cherry, for example. And the Broncos are a major proponent of this, like the likes of Payne Haas and Big David. They're just used to running over people. And, they missed a tackle. Oh, well, you know, great with the ball in hand.
All right, let's move on.
Let's go to a break. And we come back on the other side. We'll have the news. This is SharkCast Radio.
SharkCast Radio would not be possible without the generous support of Dyson Logistics.
Dyson Logistics provides tailored logistical solutions to meet individual client needs and is set apart by its personalized service.
Dyson has a strong worldwide agent network, enabling highly competitive rates. Find them online at www.dysonlogistics.com or call them 8399-1844.
Dyson Logistics, service delivered.
Eddinghausen and Green laying it on. Peaches into the space. They're not going to get him. The young fullback scores for the Sharks.
Well, I'll tell you, it is one of the best scrum moves you've ever seen.
Welcome back to the show, and now it's come to that time where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of PointsBet Stadium, Cogra Jubilee, the Theatre of Dreams, the Globe Theatre in Bath where Shakespeare did his first play. I don't know, I'm going for some random.
There's lots of injury news, Neil.
There is a lot of injury news. Lay it on us, Samuel.
Sean Johnson, as your mate Chris said, a Achilles rupture.
Dear idea.
The word rupture is never good.
No.
He was operated on today, and he's got a long road ahead of him, and we wish him all the best.
So how long are they talking with that? 6 months?
Oh, I think a minimum might be 8, because the comp starts, correct me if I'm wrong, in about 6 months, and he's going to miss the start of that.
Wow.
They're talking at least... And these things can change, but they're talking 2 months into the comp.
And then you
and
never
that's best case.
You never come back from these things faster, sharper, better.
Well, apparently it takes a year to get like a year of playing and get back to what you had. Wow. So he's in for a world of hurt. Doesn't mean it can't work out, but we'll get into all that stuff with a lot of people, I'm sure. Royce Hunt, that rupture to the patella.
Oh,
and he's out. Yeah, it's not
the
just
knee,
a...
The knee bone.
He's out for a long time as well, and we wish him all the best. I'm really happy for him that he signed that contract, longer term contract, for a few more bucks, because a guy like him has worked his butt off to get where he is, and he was on a pretty small contract. For him to not have his future sealed for the next 2 or 3 years would have been disastrous for him personally.
Yeah.
So good on him, and he'll be back. He'll be back sometime into next season.
Yeah, but he won't be there round one.
No. Joshy Dugan, they haven't really released what's wrong with him, but they said it's not overly serious. And I think we might see him week one of the finals. He's definitely not playing this week, as we said before. But he fell very awkwardly, as we discussed, and played on for a tiny bit, I think. But I believe he went off. But Dugs.
Dear idea.
So that's a summation of the injury news. We do get Wade Graham back this week, and then Chad's back next week. So, but you've got some lower grade information.
Yeah, well, it's grand final week.
It is. Okay.
So the A grade grand finals are on Saturday, and if you tune into the local Facebook stream, you might hear a familiar voice commentating the A grade grand final.
What stream would that be? What
it's
page?
It's Cronulla Sutherland District Junior Rugby League.
Okay.
So you can watch.
And when would that be?
It's Saturday afternoon. I don't know. Saturday afternoon, I think. 4 or 4 o'clock.
Right.
Don't know. You can't go.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's like the one parent thing. One.
But you're calling from there? Or?
I'll be calling from there, okay. Yes. All of the local teams play their grand finals on the weekend. So good luck to them. It's always a great weekend.
But I can't go.
You might be able to go to A-League. Oh, I wish I knew more details.
TBC.
Yeah, TBC. Look it up. It's out there.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's a good time. I think it's Dila versus Como.
Como?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did Como historically go in the rugby league world?
Oh, for a tiny suburb, they've
always... I know
they've
produced good players, but how in the local comp?
They've always got a team in A grade, which is remarkable for such a small club.
Are they sponsored by the hotel?
Yes, they are.
Good hotel.
And it's a great place to go and watch. A very hostile environment to play.
Ah.
They get up on the hill there and drink tins and hurl abuse and, yeah, it's...
sounds like fun.
But they're always, for a very small club, they're always very strong.
Okay.
In other local news, the Cronulla Caringbah Sydney Shield side in the Ron Massey Cup, Sydney Shield, were runaway winners on the weekend, and they have booked their place in the grand final, which I believe is at 10 a.m. on Saturday or 11 a.m.
Okay.
Against Red Hawks, and that's you can find a stream of that too, a radio stream of that. But that's big news for a local, just the local club to be in that comp.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So the likes of Leisha and Jacob Gagan might bring some silverware back to the Shire.
That's good. That's good. They've worked hard for it this year. So
any other news? Work has commenced on the league's club.
Has it?
I've been driving past there the last couple of days, and things are happening.
Okay.
There's workmen on site.
Okay. You know, I never noticed it before, was the colour of the club in the last 5-10 years. Can you tell me what colour it is?
It's like black with yellow, with those arches are yellow.
The yellow?
Yeah.
And the yellow reminds me of something else close to home. But that mustard kind of vibe. Yeah. Horrendous.
Horrible.
I never noticed it till the other day.
Horrible. It's actually quite an interesting mid-century building. They never played on those strengths, but anyway.
I want to, again, reach out to the club. To anyone listening who has, you know, contacts with the club, and beg and pray that they do not have the Let Us Entertain You sign up there in the future.
I think it's gone, hasn't it?
Well, I hope so. And
yeah,
I hope
it's
been
no signage.
Dug up and thrown away forever. Because it was lame.
Horrible. Lame.
Lame.
What about when they used to run out to that song?
Well,
give me strength.
I mean, I'm not going to go there. I'm just saying the sign was too much.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sharks International, mate. Bring back those days.
Sharks. Why was it Sharks International?
How good was that?
Why? It made no sense at all.
That's amazing.
But that sign went up around that time, I think.
Got to say, though. Well, man. Do you notice there's no Chinese restaurants in the area anymore?
Well,
King Wan's gone.
There's two locally to you and I, but they both burnt down.
Unbelievable, isn't it? So they're out
and they're
of
next to each other.
The one in Cronulla's out of business, and the one at the League's Club's out of business. There's no Chinese.
We should open one, man.
I don't really know if it's an on-trend food, Samuel.
Oh, if you get it right, it always is.
Yeah, Mr. Wong's. What a place that is. Ever been to Mr. Wong's?
I think I have.
Oh, it's magnificent.
There is news this week, one of your favourite subjects, jerseys.
Uh-huh.
The boys are running out in a heritage jersey, the three-quarter look.
Oh, really?
Of the classic heritage jersey.
Wow, I'm excited about that.
I think on this version, like the ones that were for sale this year, every single player to have played, I'm guessing first grade only, I may be wrong, maybe it's just club, their names are on all the...
Yeah. We were the first club to ever do that, you know that?
Oh, with the members?
Names. Yeah. Very cool. All right, well, that wraps us up for the news. When we come back on the other side, we are going to have the letters, of which there are plenty. People want to vent, Sam. This is Sharkcast Radio. Buying or selling a property is one of the most stressful undertakings that you can do in your entire life. Luckily, Sharkcast Radio is supported by one of the best and most honest real estate agents in the Sutherland Shire market and is an expert in the North Caringbah region. I sold my property with Jason Hawes from Cripps and Cripps Real Estate and could not have been happier with the outcome. Call Jason on 0410-417-450. That's Jason from Cripps and Cripps Real Estate, 0410-417-450.
And that was a disgraceful performance, in my opinion. We threw that game. We gave it away by doing that. We gave them the friggin' game. In my opinion, that sucked. What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Welcome back to the show. And now it's come to that time where we see what the little sharky who rips around the neighborhood on a high-vis motorbike has jammed into the slot for letters. You can get a sharkcastpod at gmail.com or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at sharkcastpod.
Adam Flanagan, no relation to Shane or Kyle as far as I know.
Yes, okay, go. Good letter.
He says, "G'day, boys. Re your subject last week about cult heroes of the Sharks. So last week, RCB asked us what a cult hero is and named a few, and we're going to get into that now and next week. Adam has sent in his.
Yep.
A few that come to mind. Nathan Long.
Yep, big time.
My mates and I used to call him Mr. Joshua after Gary Busey's character in Lethal Weapon.
Ah, yeah. I like it. Love. I often get compared to Gary Busey.
I don't see it myself, but...
Okay, there you go. Maybe it's just more the being aggressive when it's not required as part of your personality.
You are very aggressive. All those fights you're starting in the park with the parents. Newman, put it down. Chris Hyington, cult hero.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see it.
Yeah. Going back, the very tall Paul McNicholas.
I remember him. He was, yeah. Big things were sort of thought of him, and then he got signed by Souths and nothing really happened.
Oh, did he? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
This one...
But he was enormous.
He's very tall.
Yeah.
This one we all agree on, and probably does not get the recognition of being a Shark great like he should, and that's Tuwira Nicau.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I know. He was fantastic for us, and he was the definition of cult hero. I mean, I think a big part of a cult hero, it's not essential... But having a memorable haircut helps. That's sort of Nathan Long, you know, with the long hair. And, you know, Tuwira Nicau with the mullet. That helps with the cult status.
Fantastic player. He was almost too good to be a cult player.
Yeah.
If you get too good...
He played for New Zealand a bunch of times.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah.
And...
Good player, yeah.
Yeah. Very underrated in Shark history, I'm going to say.
Have you ever seen that great bit of... Like, if you ever put into YouTube... Best rugby league commentary ever, and there's that game in England where he's like, "Ooh, send him off."
Yeah.
For fun fact for train spotters, Tuwira Nicau is part of that.
Part
he's
of
on the, field. He's on the
is
field.
Is he playing?
Yeah, he's playing.
Is that how old the clip is?
Yeah.
Send him off. That guy goes berserk.
Get him off the field.
I'm going to look that up again. Okay. Lastly, and I'm not sure.
That was diabolical.
I definitely don't know how I feel about this, but this is not about me. This is about Adam. Mm-hmm. Adam Flanagan. The last one he's listed is David Simmons.
Cult hero. Cult player.
There's no wrong answer.
There isn't. No. I mean, he certainly was a niche player. His device, he had a lot of detractors. I just didn't know anybody loved him that much.
Aside from Stewie Raper. Yeah, I think... Like, for example, I think my dad liked him. You know, my dad doesn't know anything about rugby league, but my dad liked him. You know what I mean? Like,
he's
people
such a
liked
nice
him.
Boy.
Yeah, he's a nice
one
boy.
Of the, one of those type players.
Did he go on to be, and this is none of our business or whatever, did he go on to be a minister of some sort? Because he was very religious and he was studying that kind of thing.
Don't know.
He
was surprisingly good at Penrith.
The biggest thing I had against him was he was like a champion soccer player up until a month before he started playing first grade for the Sharks. I was like, go do that.
Yeah.
Play soccer.
It suited his personality, didn't it?
Tried hard.
You tried it.
Scored a lot of tries.
Scored a couple of great tries, actually.
Scored more than I ever will, Adam.
Yep.
So, that's from Adam Flanagan, and we're going to be in and out of this cult stuff, so stick with us. And if you have one or a team or whatever, please let us know. Adam Newman and I, will be giving our cult team out in the next week or so. Next up, we have a letter from Jason.
Yes,
and a couple of things that bug him. He wants to make up a T-shirt that says "Where is the friggin' winger?" and give it to Adam Newman.
Mm-hmm.
It's the easiest try in the game, but teams make the same mistake every week. Jamming in is rubbish. Now we've spoken about it, Jason, about how we feel about jamming in and how, at a professional level, they're kind of taught to do that.
Well, the reason they're taught to do that is if it's a 2-on-1, right? Let's assume it's a 2-on-1. Let's not assume it's a situation where they've got the numbers right and then they jam it, because that's not right.
Yeah.
But if it's a 2-on-1, by jamming in, you force the pass. And the theory is that the pass could be dropped, the pass could go, you know, go behind them enough for people to get across. And also, Whereas if you stay on your winger and you're outnumbered, the center with the ball just runs through untouched. So you create no uncertainty in the play whatsoever. And the second thing is your outside shoulder is your weakest defensive shoulder. So if you're sliding across, that means you're tackling with your weakest shoulder. And that's what you're asking them to do if they stay on their wing. The inside center then has to slide across and tackle with their weaker outside shoulder. That is the theory behind it, which is solid, but it all goes out the window when they have a 3-on-3 and then someone comes flying in for no reason.
Jason also says, you can't run without your legs. I'm old school. None of this first man in defense rubbish. Tackle hard, tackle fast, tackle around the legs.
Yeah, I don't have no issue with that.
Sounds like something from Cobra Kai. He also says there's only one option left for the Sharks, and that's the fight. The odds are against them. They now have to fight. Sure, people, they still have the desire to win at any cost. Good luck. Your supporters are with you. So a very romantic look at the next 2 weeks for Jason.
Yeah. It's going to be one hell of a fairy tale story if they can get something out of it.
Yes. And we will have some opinions on that, Jason, in the coming week or so about the finals and how we're going to look. Next up, we have Jordan.
Let me get this one from
you. You got Jordan?
Yep. The performance on the weekend wasn't as bad as it could have been. I was actually pretty proud of them. Wow. They really put in a good effort in the second half. I'm gutted for SJ. That's a horrible injury to have, and I really hope it doesn't affect the rest of his career. I'm not normally cut up by a player getting injured, but this one hurts. Commiserations to Big Royce Hunt, too. That's another bad injury. The squad is looking very thin now. It's a sad end to an otherwise pretty positive season. Up, up. Although he's just put it all in a nice little box for us, hasn't
he? Yeah, he's pretty good, Jordan, at surmising what's going on. So thank you very much. And I have to say, despite what we said in segment one, if you're proud of that effort, Jason, I think that's, in all seriousness, really cool. So players need to hear that. So that's great. Next, we have one from Lisa.
I like this letter too. Let's talk about this. Politics.
Well, let's get to the first bit because that's my favorite bit. Sam, I've been enjoying your song selections lately. I assume a lot of listeners probably aren't familiar with The Replacements, so I want you to know that I appreciate it. Ha ha. There's nothing ha-ha about that. That's awesome, Lisa. I love The Replacements. I often tell this very short story. The first time I sunk my teeth in The Replacements, I put my ear next to the speaker, and I just sat there for an hour listening to a best-of, pretty much, compilation. And I was mesmerized. So love The Replacements. Do you want to take the rest of it, Newman?
Oh, yeah. Let's go with some politics. I wonder if you guys heard Leash.
Not sure.
Leash Blaine's interview on the Batuta Advocate podcast last week. He wrote that great article in the monthly magazine about rugby league and class. I didn't hear him on the Batuta Advocate, but I heard him on the Rugby League Digest, of which if you tune into, your humble correspondent may be making a guest appearance. At the beginning of the podcast, he discusses ScoMo's relationship with the Sharks and how he managed to walk in and declare himself a long-term Sharks fan without much scrutiny. I know this might not interest many listeners, so I don't expect you to read this out on the podcast, but I thought it might be good. It might be for you guys. I personally really dislike ScoMo, but I reluctantly agree with Sam in that it's good for the club to have him around. Thanks again for the pods. It's one of my favorite things to listen to every week. Wow, that warms the heart.
Awesome. Thank you so much, first of all.
Well, he did walk into the club and said, I'm a long-term supporter. And is there ever any evidence of this, that he was a Shark supporter before getting into politics, before becoming...
There were wild rumours of something to do with the east of Sydney before that. But
He's from the eastern suburbs.
Well, that's okay. I haven't studied his life, and I probably won't. So I don't know... I don't know the legitimacy of his fandom. I have to wonder, though, what's in it for him to lie about it, because...
Oh, there's a lot. He's the local
voters,
member here.
That's it?
For Cork. And
but when did he march in and say, was it pre-PM?
Yeah. Because you remember the day he won the election, he was at the game.
Ah, okay.
With the scarf thing.
As
my head sunk.
I haven't studied the guy, so I don't...
Yes. No, it was definitely pre-being PM. But I'm talking maybe like, was he a fan before he became the member for Cork? I highly doubt it. But it's political opportunism for him.
Hang on a second. You highly doubt it. That's a very broad statement.
Yeah.
he really could have been a bigger fan than you and I put together.
He could have been a bigger fan than you and I put together, but if I was going to bet on it,
right,
and I was going to have an educated guess, he probably wasn't.
So what you're I'm saying he did it for the votes.
It's political opportunism, and that's what politicians do. A Labour politician would have done exactly the same thing, and if they didn't, they would have been stupid. You live in the local area where he's representing the people of Cook. They're passionate about their sports team, and he's like, how do I curry favour with the voters? Let's get into local footy, guys. And it worked for him.
Now, tell me you don't know if you don't know the answer, but when did he become Prime Minister? Post-premiership?
Yeah, post-premiership. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
It's only been a couple of years.
Okay.
It's 2020 now.
So when we got
When
we got cool, he jumped on.
Yeah.
He's
been in Finale 3 years, maybe.
Tell me about this Batuta podcast. Is it as funny as
I don't listen to it.
Things on social media?
I've never listened to it. So, no, I don't know. It is attempting to be as funny as their pod. I have listened to it once, actually. It's a lie. But it's not as funny as their articles are short. And
they're quite funny.
They're quite funny, but it's more of a rambling type thing.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. We appreciate it. And thanks for your kind words.
Did you see the shot they took at Blocker Roach in the Batuta Advocate through the week?
I did, yeah. What was it? Yeah. A good team will...
Yeah, Blocker Roach announces that a good team, if they play good, would probably win.
Okay. Next up we have, and I hope I get the name right, because I got it right last time, something like Ian. He just spells it.
Yeah.
I think in a very Irish way. I could be wrong. The weeks are flying by, man. Hey, guys, curious to get your take on the team sheet today, which we will get into the next segment. Given we're 99% certain to get Canberra next week in the finals, not sure naming the full set of forwards, Wade at six aside, is the best call from an injury risk point of view. And the point of view that Canberra will still have some big boppers out there.
Well, I honestly don't know who else you could pick if we went down two more players. Maybe you could get Braden Trindle in. He didn't get picked, but...
He says, I can see Bombers' predicament in that we need a confidence boost, but assuming we win, is beating a New South Wales Cup team really going to give us that?
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like a trial match now, isn't it?
Ian would also like to see Trindle in there. Yeah, he's asking about Jason Ferris. Ferris is not fit yet, my friend, so unfortunately he won't be playing as far as we are aware. And we will talk about that in the next segment, my friend, but thanks for getting in touch. Newman, I've got a few more cult things to throw at you.
Yeah, while you bring them up, someone got in touch with me. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Quigs, and he mentioned...
Guess something about Brisbane coming last?
No. He's enjoying that so much. No, he mentioned a cult favourite, but then when I did some research, a chap called Vince Farah.
Yeah.
For some of the older guys, and I couldn't even find a photo of him.
Oh, no.
But he was like a pot-bellied, bald-headed.
No. Yeah, okay.
He sort of looked like Homer Simpson with cross-eyed, and he was a replacement for Cliff Watson, but evidently he was terrible. So can a terrible player be...
Of course they can.
...a cult hero?
I've just added one to the list. Vince...
Farah.
No. From the 2000s. Vince. Yeah, is that it?
Yeah. He scored that try against Newcastle.
Yeah, he's a cult hero, surely. Yeah. All right, so the gentleman that started all this talk is our friend RCB. And so he's thrown some cult figures at us.
Yeah, yeah.
Luke Gavell.
Definitely.
Probably captain.
Yeah.
Missy Talapapa.
Definitely.
This one I'm quite happy he's getting a bit of recognition. Nathan Gardner.
Yeah, wow. Now, Nathan Gardner. How quickly you forget. They played... On the NRL Twitter feed, there was, I think it was from 2012, when Nathan Gardner had an absolute shocker against the Roosters. And I was watching the game with Damien Irvine, and I thought Damien Irvine was chairman at the time. He was going to implode some of the dumb stuff Nathan Gardner did.
I was at that game, sitting kind of close to where it happened. It was a crazy game from memory.
Where a grubber went in.
Kick.
Yeah. And instead of picking the kick, the grubber up, he just boots it as hard as he can. Comes off the side of his foot. But we're winning like 18-6 at the time. Oh.
And we lost.
It goes to boot it instead of picking it up. It ricochets sideways off his foot, hits the post, and then into the waiting hands of a Rooster player, and they just fall over the line.
Well, I mean, I think that's almost an episode in itself, Nathan Gardner, because he came to the Sharks with so much hype from the Parramatta area as a junior player. Ricky Stewart got him, I'm pretty sure. And I watched him play a few lower grade games, and he was fantastic. And then he got his shot, and he was really, really good in moments for a number of games. He was a little fella for a fullback. Tough as nails, bit cheeky. Two very memorable length of the field tries, obviously.
Well, it's funny because that length of the field try was probably 2 years prior against the Roosters in the same game. And then fast forward 2 years and he's just a battler.
Yeah.
But there was a long period of time where our attack, everything came off Nathan Gardner.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching him play. I'm struggling, though, to remember where it all went wrong.
He just got found out. He was too...
Too small?
He was too all over the place, you know, too...
It's probably after that game or...
Yeah, he was just too... There were plenty of games, though, where that era, you know, it was 16-14 all the time. And if he could jag a try, then, you know, you're a quarter of the way to winning.
But he had that speed. He was tough for a little guy, and he was only little.
Yeah.
He could catch the ball when he wanted to. I mean, he had it all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, never kicked on anywhere else.
Did he even go to another club?
I don't know. RCB has got two really great candidates for halves. You're going to love this. A very obvious, well, I say obvious, but Michael Sullivan.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Oh, hang on. Have we got a problem here?
Well, I don't see him as a cult favourite, but anyway.
That year he came off the bench and tore up everything. He was a cult favourite.
Ah, true. Yeah, that's true.
He was bloody good for a year or two.
Yeah, he was.
This one I love. Love. Oh. The lawnmower man, Scotty Porter. What a story. Scotty Porter. The halfback.
I would have thought that... Yeah,
what a story, man.
He was culty.
Out of nowhere. Who's this guy? He mows the lawns.
He mows the lawns, yeah.
What about won the first four games. Never won another game.
I thought you were going to say Speechley or...
Well, wait, hang on. There's a lot of information here.
Okay.
RCB's not that old either, by the way.
This is true.
Forwards. Some good ones here. He's showing his age. Hutch Maiva.
Of course.
He'll get a few mentions. Yep. Phil Lulua, you and I both love.
Of course.
You and I both love Clifford Manua.
Manua.
Both in the same
era.
Pack.
Yep.
Nathan Long.
Yeah, of course.
He's throwing in the GOAT.
Well, yeah. The GOAT.
I'm not talking Gallon.
No, the GOAT. Yeah, 100%.
So.
See the GOAT. Strange haircut.
Which I think is where the whole subject matter came from.
Yeah. Good list there, RCP, as usual.
Now, we are jumping all over the place here. I've got one from our friend H-Man on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening, yada, yada, yada. It's been a challenging year. One thing that's disappointed me, not only as a player who's played in rep teams, but as a leader of the pack, is Aaron Woods. His stats might look good during the career he's had, but stats and impact are two different things. What worries me is the young guys look up to him, seeing him run soft into the line and being lazy around the ruck while other packs bash us and destroy us in the middle. It says a few other things. Yes, it takes a tough person to play rugby league, but for a man who's highly paid and played in rep teams, he's failed as a leader on the field by his actions when the team needs it the most. What are your views on Aaron Woods as leader in the pack?
I agree with everything you've said, H-Man, 100%.
In my eyes, it's been a huge... That's Leo.
He's been extremely underwhelming. He's not terrible, but he's just, he's just not what our team needs.
Can I tell you that I was most disappointed with him out of the 17 guys on the weekend? There were times when I looked to him.
He's a bellwether for the team, would you say? Fair point. If a team plays well, he tends to play well. But when the team plays poorly, it's very rare that you say, well, Aaron Woods is good.
Well, so here's an interesting thing. 2-3 weeks ago, I in person watched him play the Cowboys and tear it up.
Yep.
It was maybe the best game I've seen him play for us.
Yeah.
Now, my issue and my issue alone, it's not yours, it's not Leo's. My issue with him, and hear me out, is the money he's on and what we're getting back. And as you and I say every week, these guys get the money that they get, and good on them. So I'm not saying he shouldn't get the money. I have a problem with
value.
There's not much coming back, because I could find you someone to do that for a quarter of the price, and with probably a bit more impact.
Yeah,
and that's the sad story.
And we see that with Royce Hunt. We see that with Talakai. We see that with Hamlin Ueli, right?
Yeah,
I just think he could.
And I understand that he can't be the aggressive mongrel I want him to be. That's fine, but give me something.
Yeah,
for that price,
he's going to be like another, unless he changes somehow. He's going to be like a Matt Moylan, who is a talented player that doesn't win a comp, because there's no way he's going to get recruited to the likes of a Roosters or a Storm or a Penrith. You know, those strong franchises, strong organisations with his reputation. They're just, because he's just too expensive, and he won't win a comp.
Do you think if he went to Melbourne, Craig Bellamy would turn him into a different player?
Maybe, but Melbourne wouldn't pay. Melbourne don't pay.
Yeah, they wouldn't pay him the money.
You know, if he went to Melbourne, it'd be on a loan amount of coin. But I would be shocked if Bellamy recruited him.
Mm.
Bellamy gets something out of a Nelson, a Brian Norrie.
Yeah.
They're tough, man.
Yeah, Brian Norrie was tough. Yeah. Absolutely. And as Leo said, like, and we've said it a million times, like, he's doing the hit-ups and doing the tackling. I'm in the grandstand watching. So that's full disclosure there.
Yeah.
But I've been very underwhelmed by his tenure.
100%.
And I seem to be getting more overwhelmed each week.
The longer that it goes on. And yeah, a lot of people are into Fifita.
Yeah, but I see a guy trying really hard.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you see Woods trying hard, and then it just comes in flips and flops. We've spoken about it ad nauseum.
Well, that's
pretty
Leo's,
obvious.
Leo's piece.
Neither of us are fans. You got another one?
We're jumping back to Colts just because of the way we've put the show together. Clinton Maynard, good friend of the show, going back in time a little bit, but one that a lot of our listeners know. Think big thighs. Two big thighs. Thighs just running and thighs kicking goals.
Oh, Dean Carney?
Dean Carney.
Wow, now there you go.
That's a cult.
That's a cult hero.
Yeah. I remember my big brother into me going, you got to watch this Dean Carney guy. And I was like, who's this
strange kicking style?
Yeah, he was a toe poker, right?
Yeah.
So that's from Clinton. A very, very good choice. I've really put this show together really poorly because Dana has said, totally agree with Newman Ree Wood, stop trying to pass and just hit the ball up. Here's a question she's got. Do we think that we let Fifita's performance slide because of 2016? And I think that we do.
Absolutely, we do.
I think we just admitted that before, didn't we?
There's no opinion to that. It's a fact.
And we're okay with it, right?
I mean,
yeah. Unless it gets to a level that's unacceptable.
Yeah, yeah. If he had not done the things that he'd done in 2016, he'd be up for a lot more heat.
Yeah, okay. That's a fair call. So, good friend of the show, Michael, is asking what makes a cult figure? Is it the look, the style, the effort, all of the above?
I think we re-listened to the podcast, and I think we landed on a pretty good explanation. It's a player who curries favour with the supporter base.
Connects
with the supporter base for other reasons than their playing.
Right.
Could be their look, could be their style.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that you say that they can't be a regular rep player. You know, they become popular, you know, but then, you know, they're not going to command big money elsewhere, or they're not going to play Origin or... Like, Fifita fits the mold, but he's played for Australia. He's
too
played,
successful.
Yeah, too successful to be a cult player.
Okay, we've got a few
too
more.
Too roundly popular.
Got a few more. One from the former boss, Damien Irvine, who we send a big g'day to. He's gone Hutch Maiva.
Yep.
He's gone the late, great Lance Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
So,
fair point.
I'm guessing Lance, and I'm obviously saying this without much respect, he wasn't too successful, right? Because he wasn't overly a rep player, was he?
No, I think he played, man, we might be showing our ignorance here. Might have played some Origin and City Country, but never above
He was
that.
City Country, for sure. Okay. Yeah. So he's almost the top of level.
Yeah, and he wasn't I don't think he was playing Origin level when he came to us.
No.
He was sort of in the shadows of his career a little bit. Not saying that he was he's great for us.
One you're going to love, Newman. Yeah. From Damien, Chris Beattie.
I love Chris Beattie. Well, one of my favourite players growing up. Loved him.
Big bopper.
Big bopper. Aggressive. I'll never forget. And this is a cult hero thing. Very aggressive. Right? In the end of his career, he really slid fast.
Yeah.
We were playing at Cogra against a strong Dragons outfit. I think it might have been the Trent Barrett. Trent Barrett was firing. That era where the Dragons kept underwhelming but were really good the regular season. Anyway, he's battling on the field and he gets subbed off and he's got his drink bottle and he's going and sprays it all over the Dragons bench as they're sitting there watching the game. Like he's not even in their field of vision and he's spraying water all over him to say like, F you. And I'm like, that's so cool.
Chris Beattie. We should know this stuff. I don't know how long he was at the club, but it seems like it was a short time in hindsight. Like 3 or 4 years.
He did play Origin though, Chris Beattie.
Yeah.
Proud you Queensland. Know who knows? Stevie Buchanan knows. He's good mates with him.
Yeah, we love Stevie. Now, Michael has also said, he's having a shot at me, saying, I thought Sam would have said Jared Anderson. Ha, ha, ha. He's also saying Tuira Nicau.
Yeah.
So that's a great choice.
Great choice.
And Leo has said Taggart's easy.
Yeah.
And then he said Missy Telepapa lol. I'm not sure what the lol means, but... And we also have... Joel says Sam Taggart's easy. This one, I think, really might sum it up for me, and I don't know how you're going to feel about it, but Brett says, I reckon Fecky ticks all the cult hero boxes.
Look, I saw that tweet as well and went, but now I think about it.
I think he does.
Yeah, I think he does.
Fan favorite.
Fan favorite and, quite unassuming guy. He wasn't always excellent. You know what I mean? I think a cult player can't be excellent every week. You got to, as if they're a cult favorite, like a cult movie's rough around the edges, right?
Yeah. He was tough. He had a cool haircut every week.
Yeah.
He was quiet.
Very quiet.
He could score a try. He could let one in. And I think we all felt...
He had those wobbles on the high ball,
too. We all felt for him when he had the wobbles. Because... Yep. You can go back and look at the old vision, and I know everyone has it. You watch when he either lets in a try or is near it, he puts his hands on his hips, much like you're doing now, and he looks very disappointed in himself. He puts his hands up on his hips. He's not laughing or, gallivanting around. Yeah. He felt it, man.
All right. Well, that was fun. That was a fun segment. I'm looking forward to doing mine next week.
Yeah, so we're going to do one next week. Yeah. And please send in the rest of yours. We can't get enough of it, so please do that.
All right. That wraps us up for the letters. Make sure you get a sharkcastpod@gmail.com. We had some different writers this week, which was nice. So we're going to cut to a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to have the preview, which Sam will do the intro for. The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking is a hidden gem of the Shire, situated on the banks of the beautiful Port Hacking, and is the best venue around for lunch, dinner, casual catch-up with friends, or function.
They always show NRL games live on the big screens, and Sunday arvos are superb with live acoustic music in the beer garden while the boats frame the backdrop. And Newman, I love acoustic music, you know that.
Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days and nights, serving great food, and if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free...
garlic bread, baby.
The RMYC Port Hacking, Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or check out their Facebook feed to see what's on.
Twister, Green, kicks across the park, Sailor's on his own!
Okay, Adam, time for the preview.
I love it.
Time for the preview where we look forward, so to speak, to the game coming up. And that would be the Raiders at Cogra Jubilee, our home away from home, 5:30 p.m. on a Saturday night. This Saturday night, Saturday the 26th of September. Now, both teams have been named.
Wow. They're
both a little kooky.
That's one way to put it. Yeah, it's
we don't often read out both teams, but we're going to do that.
All right, go for it, Sam.
I'm going to get you to read out the Sharks team.
All right, your Cronulla Sharks. This is my best ground announcer voice. Your Cronulla Sharks fullback William Kennedy on the wings are Nene McDonald and Ronaldo Mulatalo. Mavin Hirotti makes his way back into the side, partnered by Jesse Ramian. Wade Graham takes the DeLorean back in time to play six, and he's partnered by Connor Tracy, number seven. The front row, Hamilton Lely, Blake Braley, and the indefatigable Aaron Woods. And in the back row, we've got Britton Nakora, the GOAT CSC for Talakai, and in 13, Toby Rudolph. On the interchange bench is Scott Sorensen, Jack Williams, Andrew Fifita, and Teague Wilton. On the extended bench, Billy Magoulias is the 18th man, which is the closest he's been all year. And Trindle, Goodwin, and Vasquez.
Vasquez. Mm. Singing from the number 21.
Yep.
Now, before we get into the Sharks team, I'm going to give you the Raiders team. You get a dollar for each player you've heard of.
Okay.
Adam Cook. At fullback, Adam Cook. Somewhat veteran now. Semi Vellamai on the wing. He goes pretty good. The other winger is Nick Kotrick.
Heard of him.
Your centres for the Raiders, Matthew Tomoko and Harley Smith-Shields.
Nope.
Your halves are Matt Frawley and Sam Williams.
Yeah, I know those guys, but from commentating New South Wales Cup.
Not a bad forward pack. Dunamis Louis, Tom Starling, and Soliola is the front row. Hudson Young, Harawira Nira, and Havili are the back row. And the bench is Kai O'Donnell, Ryan Sutton, Darby Medlin, and Jarrett Lublu. The extended bench is Mariota, Joseph Tapini, who's not too bad, Jack Whiten, I've heard of him, and Elliot Whitehead, the extended bench.
They really are resting a lot of players.
They don't want to win.
That is a New South Wales
Cup. Well, actually,
I
shouldn't say that. They probably think they can win with that team.
Well, we are favourites in this game as a result of the team they've selected.
Well, even though he's been stamped, he's back. Hirotti for the Sharks.
Yeah, and Nene McDonald.
Nene's back. And I saw Nene in the recent times, I'm going to say, and he didn't look like he was coming back. Mm. But he's coming back in number two. And I'm a little worried.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's... Boy, oh boy.
I kind of hope they're not next to each other in defense. Now, let's skip to the positive stuff.
It's like a trial match. Like, how do you get a read on that? My tipping comp, I could win it this weekend, Samuel. Who am I going to tip here?
Well, we'll have to get to that soon. What do you think about Wade Graham at number six?
I was surprised that Trindle didn't get a run. I don't know what he's done there, young Braden Kenneth Trindle. But, I mean, he's capable of playing there, Wade Graham, in a pinch. So, and in this kind of game, I mean, it really doesn't matter if we win or not. You get no kind of...
But is Bomber saying to us that Wade and Chad will be the halves in week one of the finals?
Well, potentially.
Because why else would you kind of do it?
Yeah, Wade hasn't been in vintage form this year, and he's been out for a while, so...
I do like him getting closer to the ball.
Yeah.
So, I'm not against it.
Oh, he's a quality player, Wade Graham. Like,
of course
let's
he
not
is.
Forget about that.
Of course
you know,
he is.
He's an experienced campaigner. He's played a lot of footy, and well, they're going to be looking at him to create something, because I don't see Tracy as the most creative half getting around. He wants to show and go all the time himself. And, you know, with so many of our tries that come from Sean.
Yeah.
I can see the thinking behind it.
I just wonder what it means, I say long term, what it means for the week after.
But the other thing is, right, it keeps Nakora,
Talakai
and Rudolph in the back row.
Yeah.
Well, it keeps Nakora and Talakai on the edges.
Yeah.
So you can fit those three in by playing Wade there.
And there's been lots of talk about potentially at some point Wade going to lock, so Talakai keeps his left spot and Wade gets more involved.
Wade's
so
on an edge. You know, he's better
yeah,
on
but,
an edge.
Well, I don't know. Why can't he play in the middle?
So is Townsend...
He's back to
Tracy
the finals.
Going
to
be the... I mean, who knows?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we need to ask Bomber why Wade is playing six, because...
Because I actually think Wade, no more I think about it, I actually think he'll be decent there.
Of course he will.
Particularly against weaker defence.
Yeah. But I guess they're saying Trindle won't play the finals because you would give him
well,
practice,
surely.
Well, I mean,
surely. If Trindle was going to play in the finals,
but then there's
they'd
that,
be giving him another game.
There's that thought that we're most likely going to play them 2 weeks in a row Do you show them what you got?
They're not playing the same team, though. Like, I know. The team that we play will look markedly different to that.
Yeah, but the team we've got won't be too much different. I mean, the Sandals will come in, but as far as halves go, is Wade going to play there?
I don't know what the thinking is. There's a mix of, we're right at the bottom of the barrel here, and we're going to rest some people. That's...
Yeah. So Katoa's not playing.
No, neither's...
Neither's Dugan.
Yeah.
It's an odd one, and, you know, it's good for us to talk about, but it's... I don't make much sense of it.
Ramien in or out?
Ramien is in.
Yeah.
And he better make some tackles.
Yeah.
The bench is Scott Sorensen, Jack Williams, Entrefeeder, and Teague Wilton. Capable doesn't scare the heck out of me, but capable.
Yeah, it doesn't really provide, as we saw, that similar type bench on the weekend. Doesn't provide a lot of cover if a half or back gets injured.
Is Teague more of an 80-minute player than a benchy?
Oh, I haven't seen enough of him to know.
Okay. I sense he might be.
Yeah.
But then...
Mate, who the hell knows what's going to happen in this game? Who the hell knows?
I can tell
you, it might be an entertaining thing to watch.
Yeah, yeah. There's just so much to look at psychologically because we know we're playing week one of the finals. Nothing's going to stop that. And we're 90% sure, it depends on the West Tigers, but we're 90% sure that we're going to play the Raiders.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really matter because the Raiders team that we're playing.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I mean, the only thing I can see out of it is we get that monkey off our back. Oh, we've beaten the top 8 team. Well, we really haven't, but there's an asterisk there, yeah. You know.
So the last three times this has happened in the NRL, where you play a team in the last week, then play them the next week, the team that wins
the first round tends to win the next round, right?
Oh, I can't remember what that is now. I can't remember was it the other way around. Anyway, as we've discussed, the last happened to us in 2002.
Yeah.
We lost both
mm-hmm.
to the Chooks. But, it's interesting times. You can overthink this one, which I like doing, but, oh, man.
So what do you think?
I saw the great bomber down at Paisley's, and I was just like, you know what? You with your family. My hat's off to you, brother. Good luck. Good luck.
So what do you predict is going to happen?
I'm a little worried by our backs.
Mm.
Because last time we saw Haroti, he was awful.
Yeah.
No disrespect.
Wasn't much better.
Nene was terrible. And I saw him recently and he was not how I thought he would look. Mm. But that was 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We do have more experience in the team.
Mm.
Wade Graham at 6. But yeah, I don't know. Canberra's probably got a good structure and a good setup, and guys come in. They've been pretty good for a few years now. Grand finalists last year.
I think we beat a beaten up Raiders.
Yeah.
I do. Oh, like a New South Wales Cup Raiders, baby Raiders or whatever, but I wouldn't read too much into it.
No.
I wouldn't read too much into it. I think Wade actually would be surprisingly good at 6 against weaker opposition. Like if you put him up against the Roosters, it's going to be harder for him, but... Yeah, I'll watch it with a lot of interest, but you can really, it'd probably be beneficial if both teams just put their feet up this week and worried about the week after.
Yeah, I don't mind that. And looking ahead briefly, the Canberra trip is going to be really hard.
Yeah.
If there was, I'm putting it 10% chance, if we go play at West Bankwest against a Parramatta team that at the moment... isn't travelling the best. Are we any chance there? You know, on the day, get up for it.
Yeah, I think we're actually probably better suited to do a number on Para.
Mm.
The Raiders are going to be, like, what happened to them last year, you know, they're going to be ready primed. They've been ambushed by us once, week one in the finals. Yeah. They won't want that to happen again, whereas Parramatta are wobbly as.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Hmm.
Is there a chance West Tigers can beat Parramatta?
They're pretty bad, the Tigers.
They're inconsistent.
Yeah. They're not awful, but if Parramatta can't... Are Parramatta resting a bunch of people? Surely not.
I haven't looked.
They could, but it's unlikely.
I have one more question before we let you go, Adam Newman. and the question has come at us from different sources. 2021, you're the person signing the checks. Would you have one B. Marshall in your team on a year contract?
You know what? I probably would, because I've always thought, wonder how Benji go for the Sharks. I enjoy watching him play. I think he's a great personality. And I actually don't think he's as bad as some of his bad performances show. Like when he puts in a bad performance, like it's all over the media and everything. Week to week, he's more consistent than that. He's pretty long in the tooth.
We're talking short-term replacement, obviously, for sure. Yeah. It's not the worst idea I've ever heard.
Not the worst.
He wouldn't be commanding too much money.
No. Eh, why the hell not?
You might get a few people through the gate.
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
He'd be able to teach the likes of Trindle and Tracy a few things.
Yeah, I don't mind getting a veteran on board. The other one that has been reported is Luke Metcalf from Manly, young Luke Metcalf.
Good player.
Potentially coming home. That's a rumour only at the moment.
They were very unhappy to lose him. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, they were.
And
they were.
He was...
injury prone too, yeah.
In the 20s, he... under bomber. Played, was really strong, and he played a few games in Newtown last year, or maybe the year before, but before he got injured, he was really good for Newtown.
Okay.
Small, but good player.
Okay.
I like him.
So we'll see what happens there. What that means for our current halves and the guys waiting in the wings, I don't really know, and there's a lot of speculation, as you can imagine, everywhere you look, and people are probably looking into it too much, but I just thought I'd throw that one out there as well.
All right. Well, that wraps us up for another episode of Shark Cast Radio. Sam, we had a good time on the weekend. Why don't you tell everyone about your album coming out?
I've got to finish it first, and then it'll come out at some point, yeah. It's going to be good, though. Career best.
I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Quite proud of it, yeah.
I am looking forward to hearing it. All right. Well done, Samuel.
Riveting.
Some of your best work.